Hello, I'm Eddie, your virtual safety educator. I was built for the purpose of education on a variety of topics. The topic you have chosen is WMIS, the Workplace Hazardous Material Information System. Hazardous materials are all around you in the workplace. It's vitally important that you be aware of the risks and, more importantly, how to avoid these risks. I was designed to educate and certify you in the WMIS system. You may be asking yourself the question, what is WMIS? WMIS is a Canada-wide system designed to protect employers and employees. It provides information about the dangers associated with hazardous materials used or stored in the workplace. The key components of the WMIS system include requirements for proper labeling of hazardous substances, the provision of material safety data sheets, and the requirement to ensure that workers exposed to controlled products receive adequate training to use them safely. Worker training must cover both general education concerning the WMIS system and handling controlled products, as well as workplace-specific training on things like hazardous materials and emergency procedures. Before it became law in Canada in 1988, information about hazardous materials in the workplace was often incomplete, inconsistent, or not available at all. Since introducing WMIS legislation, there has been a steady decline in work-related injuries in Canada. Under WMIS, hazardous materials are referred to as controlled products and divided into six classes.
Compressed gas, flammable and combustible materials, oxidizing materials, poisonous and infectious materials, corrosive materials, and dangerously reactive materials. There are also subclasses that cover things like materials causing toxic effects and biohazardous infectious materials, but there are exceptions. Materials that are covered by other legislation aren't covered by WMIS. For example, explosives are covered by the Explosives Act. Drugs and food are covered by the Food and Drug Act. Then there's hazardous waste, pesticides, radioactive material, wood products, tobacco, and any manufactured article. So, technically speaking, since I am manufactured, I am not covered. That's a shame.
Thanks for having me back.
That's better. Under WMIS legislation, there is a shared responsibility between the supplier, the employer, and the worker. The supplier is defined as the person or company who supplies the controlled product. It doesn't necessarily have to be the manufacturer. The product can be supplied by a third party. The employer is defined as the person or company who brings the controlled product into the workplace for use. In other words, the materials that employees work with. Things like glue, cleaning fluid, gas, you name it. The worker is defined as the person who is required to use the controlled products. Notice the word required is underlined. You are required to use the product, so you share the responsibility for its safe and proper use with the supplier and the employer. Now, let's take a look at some of the individual duties and responsibilities. Every supplier has to classify each of their products by labeling and supplying material safety data sheets. The employer has to ensure that every controlled product received or used in the workplace has appropriate labeling. The employer also has to make sure that the material safety data sheets are readily available and accessible for all controlled products. And finally, they must make sure workers are trained and the training is workplace specific as well as job specific. Whatever the environment, worker responsibilities include actively participating in the training and then applying what they have learned each and every day at the workplace. So, don't forget, there's no I in safe workplace, but you do need we, so make sure you do your part. Let's talk enforcement. Just like police officers uphold the law, regulatory agencies are responsible for workplace inspections to ensure compliance with health and safety requirements, as well as enforcement of WMIS rules and regulations. Okay, let's review. Give me a W. Give me an H. Give me an M. Give me an I. Give me an S. What does it spell? WMIS. What does it stand for? Workplace Hazardous Materials Information System. Congratulations on completing segment one. Bet you didn't think learning about Wemyss could be this much fun. Stay tuned. The fun is just beginning. And we're back. Wow, tough crowd. Okay then, let's discuss hazardous materials. Any controlled products are only dangerous when they are allowed to enter your body. As a computer-generated virtual Eddie, I don't have to worry about this, but as a human, you do. And that's a big reason we are here today, to teach you how to keep those nasty chemicals out. So, what are the various ways hazardous materials can get into your body? It can go through your skin. It can be inhaled. It can be swallowed. And it can get in through your eyes. Like I said, I can do these things because I'm a cyber being. Since you're a human being, not so much. Coming in contact with hazardous materials can cause a variety of ailments and injuries, from minor rashes or burns to respiratory problems, brain damage, or even cancer. But remember, hazardous materials can't hurt you if they can't get in you, and using what you have learned about Wemyss in this course will go a long way in keeping you safe from harm. Needless to say, there probably aren't any volunteers out there that would like to demonstrate what happens when hazardous products enter your system. I didn't think so. So, that's where I come in. As demonstrated earlier, as a virtual instructor, I can do some pretty wild things without sustaining any injuries. Check this out. Pretty impressive, don't you think? Now, let's look at some specific hazards that you may come across in your workplace. There are many hazardous materials in a laboratory. Let's say you're not careful, and you accidentally pour a nasty substance on your arm. You see, if I was flesh and blood, my injuries would obviously be a lot more serious. Or, let's say you work in a manufacturing environment. What if you weren't careful with your blood? Okay, that's going to leave a mark. Fire and explosive materials and humans just don't mix. But what if you work in an office environment? There are hazardous materials there too. Ugh. Someone order me a cold one. In all seriousness though, if you do not use proper precautions when handling hazardous materials and controlled products in your workplace, it can lead to serious injuries or even death. And that's the whole point of Wemyss training, learning everything you need to know to keep yourself and your coworkers safe. Okay, let's review what we've learned about hazardous materials. You can inhale it, you can absorb it through your skin, you can ingest it, or you can make eye contact. Toxic materials can cause damage or disease if they come in contact or enter your body through routes such as skin, lungs, intestines, or in the blood that carries them through the body. Your organs, such as the kidneys and liver, which have the ability to concentrate toxic agents and remove them from the body, do their best to protect you, but in many cases, that's not enough. The best protection is to be aware of the proper handling of these hazardous materials. Hey there. Is everyone still paying attention? This is important stuff. Maybe you would like to see some more demonstrations. Alrighty then. What I demonstrated earlier was dramatic or acute situations. What about chronic exposure that happens every day, year after year? Most chronic exposures to hazardous material can be just as deadly and you may not even know that it's happening. Check this out. Let's pretend I am working with a cleaner day after day, year after year, and don't take the appropriate precautions. The cleaner is absorbed through my skin. I also don't wash my hands before I eat, and some of it gets into my stomach. You get the picture? My liver does its best to remove the toxic chemicals from my body, but it eventually gets tired and I develop liver disease. That's if I had a liver. I don't, but you do. I admit, this demonstration may be a bit over the top, but the dangers are very real. It's vitally important to take proper precautions to stay safe. Now let's take a look at another way hazardous materials can get into your body. Toxic materials can be aspirated into the air and inhaled by anyone in the immediate area. The respiratory system is one of the most common routes of entry for toxic substances. It can cause damage to the system itself or be absorbed by the lungs and enter the bloodstream to do damage in other parts of the body. Most particles are too large to get in your respiratory system, but vapors, gases, mists, dusts, and smoke can. That's why proper ventilation is so important when dealing with toxic chemicals and fumes. So remember that in addition to inhaling hazardous material, you can also absorb them through your skin. So make sure you always protect yourself by wearing gloves, using barrier creams, and washing your hands before eating, not to mention before and after you go to the bathroom. Once something is swallowed, the toxic substance enters the digestive tract, where it may enter the bloodstream and move on to the liver or kidneys. Liver and kidneys are efficient filters, but they can only do so much and can't remove everything, especially extremely toxic substances. So, don't take any chances and use proper precautions around all controlled products. So, don't forget about personal hygiene in the workplace. If you don't follow proper personal hygiene practices, such as washing your hands or removing contaminated clothing before eating, drinking, or smoking, you can ingest material you've been working with. And there also must be an eating area that is separate from the work area, so food and eating utensils do not get contaminated. I mean, who wants toxic chemicals on their sandwich or in their coffee? And make sure you never eat, drink, or smoke on the job either. There are some serious side effects to being exposed to toxic substances. Good thing I don't have to worry about that. What if you don't break out in hives or a rash? How do you know when you've been contaminated in the workplace? The truth is, it could be years after exposure before you develop any disease symptoms. Or in some cases, there are immediate side effects to exposure or symptoms develop shortly after exposure. Some of these acute exposures can be fatal, and chronic or long-term exposure can result in things that have no cure, such as cancer. So, make sure you take proper precautions in your workplace when handling controlled substances. So, knowing how to handle controlled substances and taking physical precautions is important. But we also need to know how to treat someone if they are exposed. For all those things, we look to manufacturers and the materials safety data sheets that should accompany all of their products. Congratulations on completing segment 2. There's still much more to learn about WMIS. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Now it's time to look at WMIS labels. There are two types of WMIS labels allowed: supplier labels and workplace labels. This is a supplier label. It must be in both English and French and has to be easily read under normal conditions. It also has to be durable and resistant to damage or removal from the product. It must be large enough and distinctive and contain current information about the product. The supplier label must contain the following information: product identifier, supplier identifier, material safety data sheet statement, hazard symbols, risk phrases, precautionary measure, and first aid measure. There are also requirements for workplace labels. Workplace labels are for products produced in the workplace for use in the workplace. They also include products that are decanted from a large container to a smaller container, things such as concentrated cleaners that are diluted with water. Workplace labels may also be used if the original supplier label on a product has become difficult to read due to damage or has been removed. Although there is no size, shape, or color requirement, workplace labels must contain the following information: product identifier, safe handling instructions, MSDS statement. So, have you been paying attention? Do you remember what MSDS stands for? Material Safety Data Sheet. Congratulations on completing segment 3. stay tuned for some exciting information on MSDS. See you soon.
Ugh, I hate when that happens.
Okay, let's talk material safety data sheets. Every manufacturer has a duty to supply the material safety data sheet before shipping out a product. And in situations where a controlled product is actually created in the workplace, the employer must generate an MSDS and it must be updated every 3 years or immediately if there are any changes. A material safety data sheet is a tool for conveying information from the manufacturer to the worker. It details technical and hazard information for the controlled product. MSDS must list all hazardous ingredients, list information related to safety and health hazards, and outline protective issues for workers as well as emergency procedures. Okay, how about we dig a little deeper into these MSDS? It's very important to understand the information contained on these sheets and how to apply them in your workplace. There are 9 categories required on each and every MSDS. Number 1, product information. It has to tell you what it is. Number 2, hazardous ingredients. It has to list the ingredients and percentage and CAS number. Number 3, physical data. May include things such as the product's physical state. Is it a gas, solid, or liquid? Also, what is the appearance? Vapor pressure, vapor density, boiling point, and evaporation rate, to name a few. Number 4, it also has to list fire or explosive hazards. Is it flammable? If it ignites, how is it best extinguished? Are you still with me? Number 5. There is a reactivity section. Is it stable? Are there incompatible materials? What are the conditions of reactivity and what hazardous materials are produced if there is a reaction? Number 6. Toxicology properties. How does it enter our bodies? What happens if we are exposed? What are the exposure limits? Will it cause cancer? What areas of the body will be irritated upon contact? Number 7, preventative measures. What do you have to wear when you are handling this material? What engineering controls should be in place? What do you do if it leaks or spills? How do you dispose of it? What conditions have to be present when you handle it? How do you store it? And how do you ship it? Number 8, first aid measures. If consumed, what should you give and what should you not give? Do you or do you not induce vomiting? What happens if there is eye contact or skin contact? And finally, number 9. Who prepared all this information? There must be a source listed for the information. How else can we trust if the info is accurate? And how else can we follow up with someone if there are issues with the product? Now it's time to discuss the supplier's responsibilities. Each supplier must determine which of their products intended for use in Canadian workplaces are considered hazardous materials under WMIS. Then suppliers must classify their product. They have to supply this information in the form of a label and a material safety data sheet. And what about the employer's responsibilities? All employers must ensure that controlled products have appropriate labeling. The employer must also ensure that material safety data sheets for all hazardous materials are readily accessible at the work site. The employer must ensure that workers receive adequate training in the safe use, storage, and disposal of controlled products, and what to do in the event of an emergency. And finally, workers are required to participate in the training programs like this one and use the information learned to protect his or her health and safety and the health and safety of their coworkers. Let's talk WMIS labels. Supplier labels are placed on any container of a controlled product brought into a Canadian workplace that has been classified as a hazardous material. Each label must contain the following information. 1. WMIS border, except for laboratory supply house material under 10 kilograms. 2. English and French. 3. Readable under normal conditions of use and storage. 4. Durable and resistant. They must remain attached and legible during the life of the product. 5. Large enough to be legible and prominent. 6. Distinct from all other signs, labels, logos, and scripts on the container. 7. They have to be attached to, printed, stenciled, or embossed on the container.
8. They have to be updated to reflect changes in the Material Safety Data Sheet, MSDS. As previously mentioned, workplace labels are required for products produced in the workplace for use in the workplace. They also include products that are decanted from a large container to a smaller container, things such as concentrated cleaners that are diluted with water for use, or if you were to pour acid from a large container with a supplier label to a smaller container, you must add a workplace label so you and your coworkers know what's inside. Workplace labels have to contain the following information: product identifier, supplier identifier, MSDS statement, hazard symbol, risk phrases, precautionary measures, and first aid measures. So there you have it. We've covered everything you need to know about WMIS. You learned about hazard symbols, supplier and workplace labels, and material safety data sheets. We also covered the rules and responsibilities for the supplier, the employer, and for you, the worker. I hope you enjoyed this as much as I did. Don't forget, take safety seriously. And I just want to mention, I'm available to MC corporate events, weddings, and birthday parties. I would like to leave you now with a little song. No, wait. Just give me a couple more minutes. No, not yet.